the last Saturday of this month. Again, we talk about a Sunday will be work day here. Holiday Saturday, weather permitting, 9 o'clock. And then I want you to know the week of April the 20th, or I guess let's see, 20, 21 and 22 are probably Tuesday and Wednesday night, if my dates are right, in April. And I'll be in Tucson teaching at John's Church, Tucson Conference. And so please, a couple of things, just bear that in mind for your schedule, and then be in prayer and be teaching there. Next weekend, a week from tomorrow night, I'll be in Hot Springs. Got a call, several have called and wanted to do that again and just meet together again, so I'll be doing that. But so that you'll be able to be in prayer and other things. One of the dear ladies that comes to that is Sue's aunt, and her name is Marion Hayes. Right now. I didn't know I knew her last name. Marion Hayes. All right. Yeah, he's right. Marion's husband, Irvin, who is in real severe condition in the hospital there. And I talked to Marion today and just be in prayer for her. It's a lot of tests. They're just different things when, as we've noted so many times, and it's not for us to know and discern, judge, all the things going on, because we don't know all that God is doing. And Marion, just request your prayers, and so please be in prayer for Marion and the family, Sue and just her uncle and Jean and just different people there. So please do be in prayer for that little group who are learning to walk by faith in the Spirit and thoroughly enjoying it, but also being tested to do it. So please be in prayer. Anything else we need to be in prayer about that has come up? Okay. All right, let's prepare ourselves in prayer. Every now and then some of you asked Jeff Turner. Saw Jeff, it was a couple of days last week, and then he wasn't able to come through tonight. He wanted to, but I guess tomorrow or Friday he's going to be staying at my house. I won't be there. I'm going to see my mother, but he's doing much, much better. Many of you know a lot of circumstances. One of the things that's so wonderful about what's going on with Jeff right now is that when he was at my house last week, when Jeff did have the breakdown that he had, they put Jeff, and I don't know and don't need to want to know all the stuff, but they put him on some pretty powerful drugs, and he's gone through a process since this first happened, and finally is hooked up with another doctor, and I like this one. This one just has done all the, you know, looked at everything, looked at his history, and just said, let's find out what's going on. Took him off of everything. He's on no drugs. And Thursday, Friday last week, just, he was Jeff. He was Jeff that I knew. And it's really coherent and good humor and best that I've seen since everything has happened. And so, now, will that continue? We don't know. And therefore, those of you that know Jeff and are inclined to be in prayer, those are the things he's like this week. He's had to stay there and do some stuff. Those are the things that the doctors are all looking at. And so it might be something that can really be dealt with in other ways, and I really pray so for his benefit. And so be in prayer for Jeff and for the doctors and as he goes through this little battle. And so please be in prayer for him at this time. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the study of Scripture. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to take time out to assemble ourselves tonight with other believers who are going through this battle, who are joint heirs with us in Christ. We pray, Father, that your Spirit will guide us in dealing with one another in all kinds of circumstances that we might find ourselves in. Father, we pray for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in looking at these passages and see these things, Father. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I know that the study on one another is not the most intriguing study. I know that. It's not Revelation. I know that. It's not like even going through a book like we did with Galatians, and I know that. But every day I pick up the paper, every day I turn on the radio, talk, even with this group here. See, the problems we have in life are not those related to the rapture. The problems we have every day in life are not those related to prophecy, related to a lot of cool stuff that's in the Bible. Pardon that expression. But just insightful things and this kind of thing. If we want to use that word problem, challenge is test, is one another. I read they got about now, what, about 4 or 5 people every day writing columns, answering people's letters. First it was, I guess, Dear Abby, one of them first, and then her sister, and now a couple of psychologists, and it just keeps on going, adding people to talk to people about dealing with people. And Jim and I have no problem. We just let it alone, let it go. If Jim doesn't like what's going on, he sticks his finger in your eye while you're taking a test. Can you see now? No? Not with your finger there. But this is where the problems of life are. This is where our agitation is. This is where the motivation to get out of trusting the Holy Spirit, out of walking in faith. Well, I'd love to just have a wonderful relationship with the Lord, just me and the Lord on this island, and boy, it'd be great. A lot of people say, I love God and I love the Lord. It's just people. No, you don't love God and you don't love the Lord if you have anger and hate toward another believer. John is very clear on this. You're deceiving yourself. So, how are we going to deal with each other? With each other having not only different personalities, not only different ways of looking and saying things, but different sin natures added to all of that. Different stages of growth. Not only different stages of growth among every one of us here, but something else you want to remember, different stages of growth even within ourselves. There are certain areas, say, of my life that are no problem and extremely mature. That same area in your life is a great battle. The area that is a great no problem at all to you spiritually is to another believer the great area of their battle. So God is always working, because if we take the circle being the whole person, and you've got one little section here that you're holding on to, that this is the big me, I let God have all his other, but I want to keep 0.5%, man, God is jealous. God is jealous. And he's going to work on you. And he's going to work on me. And he's going to keep working. I want this. You're not entitled to that. I want all of you. All the time. So what I hope you're seeing, what I'm saying is, not only are we in different stages of spiritual growth, to use that expression, have some problems with it, I do, but it communicates. But even within ourselves, there are areas that God is working on and that come through in this whole thing. So we have all of these problems interrelated with believers. I don't read too often what the story is about, but I love just seeing the headlines of what these people are dealing with. And My sister's wedding, and it's a bummer deal because she doesn't want this to be happening. And 500 people are invited, and that one person who isn't is just, you know, you sit there and you read, wow, that this is causing so much turmoil in this person's soul and life. And all these types of things that people deal with and have to deal with and dealing with each other. And what do we do? Do we do this? Do we do that? Do we turn in? Do we, I've had kind of a distant interest in the whole, all this ice hockey, the United States Olympic team. You know, now they've all been disqualified. They can never go back. these 23 or whatever it was that went, because a couple of them said, and they're not telling. Okay, should they tell? Do we tell? The whole thing is a human relationship, interaction. This is why people, Christ said, love one another, and by this all will know. That's a profound statement. I hope sinks into your head. Not my doctrine, not my moral righteousness, not my service, but that I love as He loved one another. Because that's where the battles lie. It's filled with the body of Christ, filled with divorces. It's filled with hate, anger, resentment, all kinds of things that go on, build up inside of our souls, dealing with one another. And often what we do is we take what happens here and we carry it over to this relationship. Christians, non-Christians, of course, but Christians, very dangerous at this. Well, I have this relationship, so therefore, well, I'm going to make sure I deal with this way, and this never happens with any. So we carry that over to here rather than taking care of it right here in our relationship with His Spirit. So what I'm trying to say is, stay with it. I know you are, but stay with the study. Go over it every now and then. That's why I'm so glad that Susan put all these things down, and we'll continue to do that. When we've got enough for another page, we'll fill that up and give you that page rather than just give you a new page each one. But so that you can just every now and then familiarize yourself. What will happen if I'm in the leading of the Spirit? We don't make this a law. And I feel compelled every time to kind of emphasize that. These are not laws. These are not rules. These are things to make yourself aware of that if I'm being led of the Spirit, what can I look for Him to lead to me to do, especially in the inner relationship of believers? And a lot of books are written to make these things law, and you can't do that. And I would never do that. I never want you to do that. That's dangerous. But we can see that these things will come through if we're walking in the Spirit. And the one we're in now is the 20th one another, and it is to encourage one another. And we have already read 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore comfort one another with these words. We have already read 1 Thessalonians 5:11, which says, therefore encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. We've already noted Hebrews chapter that's where we left off. So let's turn now to Hebrews 3. And simply, I definitely want to finish some of these things tonight, so let's get to this point. Okay. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews always seems to come up in a lot of our studies. I want to do Romans with you next. And I've been working on it, but we might just have to do Hebrews. It's just got so many wonderful things that we need to see in reference to our study of walking by faith. But look with me now at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one another day after day. And I want to make some comments about that phrase, day after day. As long as it is still called today. Lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Well, this is one of those passages that we could study for a long time, write books about. It's just packed with stuff. Now, in the context, since we only have a few moments, in the context, what we're dealing with here is the Exodus generation, and the fact of their sin was they had no faith. So in the context of where one's faith is very weak, people, you don't want to judge, and you don't want to attack. We want to encourage one another. And specifically, what are we going to encourage them to do? Encourage them to keep walking in faith, trusting Him. And we may look at a few applications, but let's get to work on the thing. Note verse 12, as we flow into verse 13. Take care. Now, take care means to pay attention, be on guard. The battle is faith, and it's so easy to stop walking by faith. There are so many things that we saw from Galatians. You can be charmed away from faith. You can be put into fear away from faith. The masses are going away. You can be that way. A lot of things, even false doctrine, charms us to leave faith. So you have to take care. Brethren, believers, and for whom Christ died. In other words, all those that are in the body of Christ. Take care, brethren, lest there should be any in any one of you. Okay. In concept, what we're dealing with is in your family, in your local assembly, in your parousia. In your parousia of believers. Any one of you. And we have anyone, just one. And so what the point here is very important. Every single believer is important in the body of Christ. Every single believer is important. No matter how unimportant he or she may appear to you, they can't contribute anything financially, they can't do anything, they haven't done anything, on and on and on, all the way up, say, to the pastor, teacher. Whatever's going on in the assembly or in the family, every single individual believer is important in the body of Christ. And we ought to have this attitude that we're setting in regard to every believer. All right, least. Lest there be, in any one of you. So, in the assembly, this may be going on in one of the believers, an evil heart. Okay, what is an evil heart? I know what those who live under law would quickly say an evil heart is. An evil heart, you know, is a breaker of the law and does all this stuff. And like that long list of sins we studied in Galatians chapter 5, immorality, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, divisions, factions, drunkenness, carousing, all these types of things. Now, let's find out what an evil heart is. An evil, unbelieving heart. In other words, the heart that is evil here is a heart that refuses to just trust Him and walk by faith in Him. This was the sin of the wilderness generation. This was the sin. Note verse 19. I always like to pull you to that to orient you. Verse 19 of chapter 3. And so we see that they were not able to enter. Why were they not able to enter? What was their sin? Because of unbelief. They refused to just trust. So an unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Okay, people, all through Galatians, and here you have it again, and you're going to have it all the way through, falling away. How do we fall away? We fall away by stop trusting in His Spirit. What did we see? I'm not going to have you turn there. Galatians chapter 5. Severed from Christ. Cut off from Christ. This is another way of saying the same thing. This is not loss of salvation. This is a believer who falls away from the living God. He stops trusting Him. It's the same principle being severed from Christ. It's the same principle we saw in Galatians 5 of what? Falling from grace. How do we fall from grace? By stop trusting in God. What is compatible from man's standpoint, compatible with the grace of God? Faith. How do you fall from grace? You stop trusting. Falling away here. It's the writer of Hebrews' way of saying that same thing. Severed from Christ, fallen from grace, fall away from the living God. And we see these kind of phrases all through. And what should be your attitude when this happens? You know, well, I knew it was going to happen. Well, they're no good. Da, 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 da. No, people, we should care. These are fellow members for whom Christ died. This is my husband. This is my wife. These are my children. My friend. These are believers in the assembly, where I work, my social life. These are people important to the plan of God. And so we do care about them from falling away from faith. So in the context here, note verse 12. Note verse 12 for the context. Take care, brethren, lest there should be any one of you evil heart in falling away. The way that they fall away is with that unbelieving heart. That unbelieving heart. They don't trust anymore. They fall away from just trusting. And it's so easy to do. You become discouraged. A rather silly example. Here is the wife. The husband comes home from work. Pardon my chauvinism of the husband doing work. But comes home from work. And he is not walking by faith. He is angry. He's in anger. And he's bitter. And all these types of things. And that's going in the soul. And so instead of judging, she listens. And just to kind of talk about it, what happened was he was passed over for this great promotion or a raise or whatever. Somebody else got it. So, whether she's got a choice, she can concentrate on her sins and really getting going and judging for that. All what she can do is she can say, here's the problem. He's out of relationship with God because of what happened there. Get him back. What I want to do is overlook all of that, cover all of that with spiritual love, get to the need. And what is the need? To just get back and trust him. Is God not in control of our lives? Is God not in control of the money we make, the provision that God has, where we are in life, where you are in the job? Is not our God in the total control? Yes, he is. And what has he done? He has restored this man into the body of Christ, back into the spiritual life. She could have just said, well, you know, you dummy, and walk off. She could have gotten out with him and gotten angry and bitter with him. Yeah, you're right, boy, they're no good at work, and that guy's no good, the person that got promoted over you and all that. She could have joined him here. She could have judged him for it. She could have just walked away. You know, if you're going to be like that, you know, I'm going bowling. You're going to be like that, I'm out of here. I'm going shopping. Hey, Tingle, shopping, I didn't get the promotion. Well, I'm going bowling. Okay. And she gets out of there. All of these things she could have done. But because she's in the spiritual life, because the Holy Spirit just took in this one, understands encouragement, she encourages him to get back into right here. Let's trust God in this matter. You know, you're right. And so she's restored him back to trusting him in the spirit-filled life. So, falling away. And again, it means to fall. The Greek word is apistemine, and it means away from standing. In other words, to stand. We saw that word in Galatians, stand firm. That means to stand firm in the truth of the gospel. Here we mean to fall away from standing firm, apistemine. He's not doing that. In this case, the believer just stops doing that. It means to depart or to leave what you are doing. It means to depart or to stop or to leave what you are doing. What you're doing is walking by faith, and you fall away from doing that. They were doing it right. They were trusting him, and then they stopped doing it. It means to remove. Let's run through a little bit. It means to remove yourself from how you were saved. You're saved by grace through faith. You remove yourself from that. It means to desist or to desert or to depart. Again, to desist or depart from what? From trusting him, from how you were saved. It means to draw away or to refrain. What are you drawing away from? You're drawing away from just trusting him. You're drawing away from walking by faith and either want to go to some aspect dealing with law, rebellion of it, or trying to keep it. So verse 12, take care, brethren, lest there to be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. And again, we come with this to the great issue. What is the battle? The battle is a battle of faith. People, it's so easy to judge one another. It's so easy to try to straighten each other out. It's so easy to brace somebody, to brace your husband, your wife, your children, your friends. It's so easy to stand back and be the judge. But it takes spiritual love, the power of the Spirit, to encourage, not to attack, but to encourage him to get back into a relationship with him. Now, therefore, verse 13, we're going to encourage one another because it is so easy, and because the battle is faith, and because we know that about ourselves and about one another. But in place of arrogance, in place of judgment, in place of the arrogance of relying on past victories, whatever it may be, but encourage one another. Same word for encourage that we've been studying, but here we have a different thing for the one another. And I won't develop this, but those of you that have been in this study, remember, we have different ways in which we have either a reflexive pronoun, which this can be taken, and different ways it can be to encourage one another, or, and this is the way it is here, it is encourage yourself, what the body does, reflexive, what you do to yourself. So here we have actually what it says then, if I translated it just in that idea, encourage yourselves. and how important that is. Let me go back to just the home unit, and then we'll talk about the assembly. Here's the husband and the wife. If the wife, staying with our study, and it could be the other way, if the wife encourages the husband to get back into the spiritual life, is she not in reality then encouraging the whole home relationship, the marital relationship? Of course she is. If she doesn't, it stays divided. So in that sense, it's to encourage yourself, the closeness, the unity here. Then you come to the entire assembly of believers. When we encourage one another, we are in effect encouraging ourselves as all members of the body of Christ. We encourage ourselves. So in that sense, it just gives you a different aspect that many Christians do not have. Many Christians are on this little island out here. They're on this little island here, there's a tree, on this little island of theirs, and it's just me. And I've got to be righteous, I've got to be pure, I've got to know knowledge, I've got to have all of this, it's just me and God. There's no concept of the body of Christ and how the body includes you and others. We're all part of the same body. The best way I know to make this indicative is if you take care of your foot when it's hurt, and we can say encourage it, let's say the right arm. I remember when Dave hurt his arm in the fall. Okay, the arm that he hurt becomes very weak. So what do you want to do? You spend a lot of time encouraging it, working it to get it back like it used to be. This is what we do with each other. It's my body. I don't want my left arm very weak. I want to just start encouraging it, strengthening it. It's going to have to be more than my right arm would be just to get it back to snuff. This is what we should do with the whole body of Christ. View it as, this is me. This whole body is me. And there's one part of it, I want to encourage it. I want to encourage it to move on. Okay. But, encourage one another. In other words, encourage yourself. Encourage one another to continue to walk in faith. Encourage one another not to be hardened. Not to harden their heart. Not to become so hardened against faith that they are not going to walk, as it were, by faith. Okay? Let's see. The great... I want to skip some of these things. I want to get on back to it. Okay. Look at the next phrase. This is a good place to jump to. Day after day. Wow. That's powerful. Day after day. What the day after day does? Encourage one another as long as it is still called a day, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitful sin. Here we have the phrase day after day. Why does he say that, and what's going on here? How often should you encourage another believer? Day after day. Same believer, if necessary. That's the long suffering of love. After a while, you think, you know, boy, if this has been going on, why do I have to keep encouraging the same one? They ought to get this down after a while. That's why long suffering of love is there. So that you and I can do this day after day after day. This is one of the bad, difficult parts of rearing children. It's not just teaching this today. You've got to work on something every day. If you're potty training, it's not a one. Okay, now I've instructed you, I've explained it all to you, and all that. Now, that ought to do it. No. It's every day. Every day. Teaching them different things. It's every day. You just day after day after day. People, the battle in the Christian is to walk by faith. And we have to teach them day after day, after encourage them day after day to walk in faith. So day after day, husband, wife, parent, child, local assembly, day after day. This is the challenge, why long suffering is needed. But encourage one another day after day. Every day we are to encourage one another. We are to encourage in the family, and friends, work, social life, and the assembly. Day after day. Okay. Let me just read to you. for the sake of time, but you can write it down, 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. People, you yourself cannot live on yesterday's victory of walking in faith. Well, I really did it today. I really was good today. I walked by faith today. And then tomorrow fall flat on your face. Every day is a brand new day in the battle of faith. Every day is a new day to be renewed yourself, and it's a new day to encourage maybe the same believer, different believers, one another, day after day after day. Because day by day, we don't carry yesterday's victory over to today. Faith, every day, every moment, faith is needed. So it's renewed each day. A lot of believers talking about, I failed the same test over and over and over. Well, generally speaking, you're going to continue having that test until you pass. And then when you pass, you think it's over, and it isn't. You're going to have it again, and you're going to fail. So you just, which is a renewed thing, day after day after day. So the battle against your faith continues to rage, but people, it's continuing against the other person. And that's when it gets tiring. The same people harassing you at work, the same problems at home, the same problems in life, they don't go away. The same problems all the tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So what has to happen with you and then in your relationship with others is to be encouraged the next day. The circumstances don't change. Don't go away. They might after a while. But as long as those circumstances are there and they're not going away, need encouragement day after day after day. So often, sometimes even in our prayer time, I hope that you understand this with people that you're personally involved with. Say we come up and we pray, but you know this is Wednesday, and then it's Thursday, and then it's Friday, and then it's Saturday. And people going through different battles in their life, going through divorces, going through financial trouble, going through personal problems, going through whatever it may be, sicknesses and illnesses of people they love, deaths of people they love, all these things. This just goes on day after day after day. And we have to be encouraged. And this is what the body is for, to encourage one another day after day after day. The battle keeps going. See, salvation won is one-shot faith. It's over. Done deal. You're saved forever. Salvation 2, every day. This faith has to be renewed. Every day. You're in this battle that's going to go along. Now look what it says. As long as it is called today, but encourage one another day after day, so long as it is called today. Okay, where does this come from? The word today is preceded by the definite article, which is used to point us back to verse 7. Let's go back to verse 7. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice. Now, what we're looking at in this whole concept is, as long as it is called today, one day, first of all, one day in each of our lives it won't be. We'll be dead. We'll be gone. That's the secondary. Primary thing is today, as long as it's during the period of the church. As long as it's called the day. Because the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord is coming up in the flow of history. And that was talking about, as long as it's called today, as long as you're alive today, living in the body of Christ in the church age, we are to encourage one another. Okay? Let's look at verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, this is a voice that we have to listen to. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me. Now, how did they harden their heart? They were not going to trust Him. As in the day, there's that word again, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Okay? That whole span is looked at as this day. And they were in this testing in the wilderness. Well, your fathers tried me by testing me. Instead of trusting him, they tested him. And saw my work for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said they always go astray in their heart. In their heart, they stopped trusting. And they did not know my ways. They knew the law, but they did not know his ways, which were faith, the Abrahamic covenant. They did not know it. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God, not questioning, just as they did. But encourage one another day after day, so long as it is called today. Still called today. Still alive, still in the church age. Encourage one another day after day, so long as it is called today. Now, look what else it says in our verse. Lest anyone of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Okay. We're going to encourage one another every day, so long as you're still alive, lest any one of you become hardened. Okay. We should care that much about one another, whoever it may be. I don't want you to become hardened. And you just keep, and you just keep, and you just keep working with them. And you're always there. You're always there to encourage. Okay? Now let's take a look at hardened. We encourage them before they become hardened. Hardened against what? Hardened against walking by faith. What did we see in our study in Galatians? We had the phrase, lose heart. You lose heart of walking in faith. Here we have the concept of hardened. Hardened against it. I don't trust God anymore. I don't trust him anymore. And I don't want to trust him anymore. If this is the best that God can do, then I don't trust him. I don't want to walk by faith. Maybe go to some form of religious sternness and walk by law. Maybe forget the whole thing and have the expression of faithlessness, and that is the sins that we studied in Galatians 5. But whatever it is, I don't want to trust God. To me, one of the best scenes in the movie The Apostle, one of the most honest scenes that I wish that they had made a little bit longer, was the scene where the apostle, played by Robert Duvall, if you haven't seen it, is very honest with God. I am angry at you. You have taken my wife, you have taken my wife. I like the way he worded it. I don't know if it's you or the devil fooling with me, but I'm angry at you. Which was beautiful. Whether it's to Satan, he realized, even though it was Satan that did all that to Job, who gave him permission? God. Even though it was Satan who clipped Peter's face, who gave him permission? God. So in the scene, he said, taken my home, you've taken my wife, you've taken my church, you've taken everything away from me, I am angry at you, God. Angry at you. Very specific. And he was shouting at God. And somebody, a neighbor, called, and in the movie, his mother answered the phone and said, what is going on over there? Now he's got a madman. And I love the mother, played by Jean Carter. Said, well, sometimes my son praises God, sometimes he sings to God, sometimes he talks with God, sometimes he shouts at God. Right now he's shouting at God. So what I'm trying to show you in the hardness here, that at least Job, and in this case in the movie, whatever it is about it, but Job and David, while they were angry with God and blamed God, and they didn't walk away from God. You notice in all of the stern psalms where David lets God have it, he ends it with, but I trust you. And I know you're going to deliver me. See, the hardened heart says, that's it. I'm not even going to trust you anymore. I don't want to walk by faith. I don't want any part of this, and I'm out of here. And that's the concept of the hardened heart that we have here. But look what happens with the hardened heart, how it's hardened, by the deceitfulness of sin. Now, you have to be careful here, because you see the word deceitfulness? That's a poor translation. It's a poor translation. And the Greek noun, apate, refers really to trickery. It refers to trickery, delusion. It's very close to what we study with that word to charm you away from grace and faith. This is the deceitfulness. It means a trickery, delusion. Now, if you follow through, what is their sin? Their sin is unbelief. Now, if we look at that, that means no faith relationship with God the Holy Spirit. Now, what happens is when you do this, you go to law. And you are deceived by law. You are deceived into thinking this is what's going to bring it about. This is what's going to carry it through. The sin is unbelief, not walking in faith. And that is most deceitful. Trickery. And that's why Paul said in Galatians 3:1, he charms you away from it. Who has brought in this little trickery to charm you away? To charm you away from faith. See, it looks good. We're deceived by the law. More and more people are being deceived by the law in our society. It is no problem for me to understand how believers are going to accept the Antichrist. Not a problem in the world. We're deceived and by the trickery of law. So not walking by faith, walking by law is extremely deceptive, and it looks like you're doing the right thing. So it charms us, it tricks us away from walking by faith. Lest any of you be hardened here against walking, living by faith in the Holy Spirit by the trickery of sin. Now, what sin is to talk about in context? Sin in general? That long list in Galatians chapter 5? What is their sin? Their sin is unbelief. That is their failure. That's the missing of the mark. The word sin means missing the mark. To miss the mark. Okay, what is the mark? Walking by faith in the one whom God has sent. For salvation 1, Jesus Christ. For salvation 2, the Holy Spirit. That's the mark. What do we do when we miss the mark? We're walking in sin. So here's a person walking by faith, stops walking by faith, sin. That is going to lead to committing what you and I know as personal sins. And that's why what you want to do is come up here and just get back to walking by faith, and that's how you're recovered. So this is simply all that's going on. And what the person is saying is, I can do this without trusting in God. I can recover from sin without trusting in God. I can be saved without trusting in God if we were dealing with unbelievers or we were dealing with believers. I can recover from sin without faith. God doesn't want my faith. He wants me to do something, and I can do that. I can accomplish something in my life without trusting Him. And so they deceive themselves. That sin in this context is unbelief. Let's look at a few passages in context. Look at chapter 3, verse 8 again. Do not be hardened. Do not harden your hearts as they when they provoked me as in the day of the trial of the wilderness. And in chapter 3, verse 19, the same thing, because of unbelief. Chapter 4, all the way through chapter 4, the same thing. Therefore, let us fear, least while a promise remains, entering his rest. Any one of you should seem to have come short of it, for indeed, and why would we have come short of it? Not trusting. For indeed, we have preached to us the gospel, just as they also. But the same thing. It's the same gospel. In the book of Hebrews, in the wilderness journey, it was the Abrahamic covenant. Trust me. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. And then he goes on through and develops that whole principle. Okay, we're going to leave it. So let's take one more time. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called a day. If any one of you be hardened to faith by deceitfulness or the trickery of the sin, that is the sin of unbelief. Okay, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. Hebrews is a great book. Falling more and more prone to it, and dealing with Romans, other things we're dealing with, but being working in Revelation. Hebrews 10, 25. It's just note, the verse, and say a few things about it in closing tonight. Not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another. Here it is. But encourage one another. This is what one of the reasons of the assembly. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. What day? That's the end of the day. That's the calling home of the church. Now let's look at the whole sentence. We got to deal with a sentence here. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that's our confidence, without wavering. Now, what is that? That all I did was trust in Him. Let's hold fast to that. I didn't work for it. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. I simply trusted Him who gave it. For He who promised is faithful. All I do is trust Him. He is faithful to do that which I trust Him to do. Verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Okay, where does spiritual love come from? We're going to stimulate one another to love one another. Love comes from the power of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. So what do? If you want to stimulate spiritual love from your husband, your wife, somebody at the church, work, wherever, what are you going to have to do? Encourage him to walk in faith in the Spirit. That's how you do that. Verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. People, here is just one of the many purposes of the assembly. For a long time, it was my understanding that the purpose of the assembly is just the learning of Scripture, study of doctrine. That doesn't even add up in Scripture at all. This is one of the reasons of the assembly, to encourage one another. One of the problems we live in is in the Metroplex, we just got to go. We've got so much to do, so many demands made on us. Throughout the history of the church and in some of those other days when there wasn't so much, it was the place where Christians would come together, and it's been a long time. That's why for a long time churches were packed. Unfortunately, they weren't packed because people loved the Lord so much. There was no television, there was nothing else to do, and there was somebody like a Billy Sunday or someone, you know, some great teacher or something like that, and everybody go to church, and pardon me, ladies would go to see what the ladies were wearing, and the guys, men would go to talk about stuff, but the churches were packed. There was a day and time when, and we can use this one in a true sense, when it just wasn't, where we all had to get out of here, and we all had to get up early in the morning, and we all had this, we all had that, we'd hang around, Bruce didn't even hear tonight, but Bruce made us call, stand around and talk, encourage one another, and this would be the kind of thing it's designed to do. It's designed to encourage one another in song. It's designed to use our spiritual gifts, teaching of children, and the helps, and all the things to find out what others need, and get those things done. So there's so many different things that the assembly is designed, and the pastor teacher is one gift in the whole assembly. And his is to present the word, but there are so many other gifts. Okay, let's continue on now with this. So one of the reasons is to stimulate one another in spiritual love, stimulating the work of love. Now, forsaking the assembly as is the habit of some. What is interesting here is that I decided to take some time with this one a little bit, more than I should have probably in this study, because it isn't the main thing. But you know what is interesting with this word? I'm glad it is, so that next time it's used. What's interesting here is they at least had a reason. They at least had a reason, an overt reason for missing the assembly. You know what it was? At this time, persecution. You go to the assembly of those Christians, you could come under some harsh treatment. Maybe even lose your property. Maybe your life. So if we look at it just from an objective point, at least they had a reason that we could talk about. Many stayed away from the assembly because there was a chance of being persecuted for going. Now, most believers today who forsake the assembling of themselves or with others have no excuse. They just don't want to. Just don't have time. It just isn't important. The preacher isn't on something I want to hear. Do you understand? But that's not the only reason for being here. Just coming to learn Scripture and what the preacher has to say is not the only reason for being here. If we are filled with the Spirit, many things happen. We're all going to take off from here and go to our own respective homes, own problems, own everything, own little detail things going right and wrong. This helps to give it all a purpose and a meaning. Orient ourselves. Why am I putting up with all this all day? Why is this going on? Why? We come here for a few moments and we encourage one another. This is why. For Christ. That others will know I belong to Him. Okay, yeah, I got that. And we need this day after day after day. We need this kind of encouragement. A lot of Christians today just have no reason. And they just don't want to. There are always groups of believers that are just too spiritual to worship with others. They're just too spiritual. I have a lot to say to these people. When you are just too spiritual, you just know too much to go worship with some other believers. Linda and I know this lady, Eleanor. In fact, I just talked with Eleanor this day, a couple of years ago. This was her big battle. She just knew too much. And then she'd get on, start listening and different things. Okay, I'm going to try. Every now and then she'd call me up. She'd just say, well, I tried five churches and then it's no good. I walk away out of fellowship rather than walking in the Spirit. We kept doing it. Okay. She finally found a small little assembly having unbelievable impact. Giving out the case on Galatians. People, different ones call her, want to talk with her, have lunch to talk about Galatians, the problem of the church. And just a lot of things going on. In fact, you want to be in prayer for her. And one of the ladies called up and told her, you know, well, you need to get, this just happened. She called me, you need to get these cases to the preacher. And, you know, whoa, wait a minute. I'm already considered, you know, but this is something, you've been there for about 15, 20 years. And they know you. You pray. You listen. You listen to more of them than what you've listened. And you pray about it. And if you're led to do it, then you do it. And she's having unbelievable impact. Is it down the line of everything? No. And she would love to have an assembly like this. But it's not there. So, okay, this is where I am. This is where I'm stationed. And so what do you want me to do? And this is where he's left. So a lot of reasons why we need to assemble ourselves, to encourage one another. And a lot of believers don't think it's your responsibility to help one another. Then I'm with James. Your faith is dead. Because when we're walking in the Spirit, one of the things that he does is the body concept. And there is that help and support, encouragement of one another. Well, the profound question, am I my brother's keeper? Cried out by Cain. The answer is yes, and I'll teach you that. So these are the things that we see going through the passage. Now, not only were they not assembling themselves due to their own safety, but the word here tells us something else, and I can't just hedge on this. They were forsaking the assembly. What the word actually means is the Greek word, it means abandoning the assembly, leaving it exposed to hardship. In other words, the Roman Empire was universally across Christendom at this time, was persecuting. And so what would happen was, rather than to be there to encourage, to support, with help, physical help, financial help, whatever it took, they were abandoning the assembly, leaving it exposed to even greater hardship. I won't go through, work out the Greek word and show you all the parts. Just trust me, if you want to see it later, I'll show you after class. But the word means to forsake. The word, Greek word, means to desert. It means to leave in danger. This is what the word means. To leave in danger. Okay. But, to drunk of the contrast, encourage one another, and all the more. What we have here, encourage one another, the same word, one another, is in italics, not in the original, but the NIV, NASB, King James all put it in. It's understood in the translation. Encourage one another, and all the more, intensive, each day, instead of judging, hurting, attacking, deserting, departing, leaving, all the more, as you see the day draw near. This is the same principle we saw in Hebrews 3:13. The day, as long as it's still the church age, we are to do this with one another. Look in closing at Acts 2:40. Got just enough time for a little thing here. Acts 2:40. Acts 2:40, and with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. This is an encouragement to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. But look at Acts 11. Acts 11:23. Then when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Okay, what does it mean to remain true to the Lord? As you have received him, continue to walk. Continue to be true to the Lord means to trust in the one he has sent. That is the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 14. So we encourage others. We encourage others to remain true to the Lord, to continue to walk by faith. Acts 14, 20-22. But while the disciples stood around him, he arose and entered the city, and the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And after they had preached the gospel to that city, the gospel for unbeliever and believers, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Through many sufferings. People, we have to realize all of us are going to go through many different types of tribulations and many different types of sufferings, many types of challenges, tests, all these types of things. And we encourage one another in the midst of all of these things that we are going to be involved in. Acts 15:32. I want you to look at this one for personal reasons. The last few words. Let's look at 15:32. And Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy message. Just thought I'd throw that in. Found that on the computer search and thought you ought to see that. That sometimes it's with a lengthy message. You need to be encouraged. Some of you, it's a short, brief message. But sometimes we have to be encouraged with a lengthy message. Okay, that takes care of that one. Next week we'll get to the 22nd one, or the 21st one, and we are getting near them, but this is where we live. I hope you don't mind. I hope you, the Holy Spirit is showing you and seeing these things and is leading with the relationship with one another. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, what we start off with tonight in our own souls, individually and privately, is to realize that what we have studied here is what you do to us each day through the Spirit. You have sent us the Holy Spirit to be a helpmate, to encourage us day by day. that our own faith is renewed each day. That inside of each of us, your love has provided an encouragement. And as we see, Heavenly Father, as the Spirit illuminates this to us, we see, yes, then, that's what He would lead us to do with one another, to encourage one another, to walk in that same Spirit that Your Spirit can encourage them. Father, we're under no delusion. We cannot make another person walk by faith in the Spirit. We cannot make another person be spiritual. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But what we can do is encourage them to get under His power by just trusting. What we can do, Father, is we can encourage them to avail themselves of this power, this grace that You have given to us. We praise You, Heavenly Father, for sending us the Spirit to lead us in using these various encouragements and various one another's that we studied in our relationship with each other. We praise You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your compassion. In Your Son's precious name, amen.